Welcome to the Consciousness Anywhere and Everywhere podcast. I am Shannon O'Hara, and I invite you to a completely new world of possibilities. Hello, everybody out there. Today, I'm joined by the amazing, incredible, kind Susie Godsey.
Hello, Shannon. Thank you so much for having me.
And we both, you and I, are unique in access in that we are the only two people that facilitate classes that start with talk to the.
Correct.
So I facilitate talk to the entities, and Susie facilitates an incredible possibility called talk to the animals. Susie, do you want to tell us a little about talk to the animals?
Yeah, for sure. So in this class, talk to the animals, you get a sense of getting a different connection with animals than what would be normally considered the typical connection we have with our pets. You know, a lot of times when I tell people about talking to animals, they say, oh, well, my dog doesn't listen to me, or my dog doesn't do what I tell him to do. And to me, talking to animals doesn't mean talking at them and expecting them to do what I am asking for necessarily. But to me, it is a conversation that allows me to have a sense of what it is that they are looking for in the relationship that we have with them. And also, how can we improve our way to communicate to them what it is that we desire, but not from that sense of like, well, I'll tell you what to do and you just do it, but really more having a sense of, yeah, what is sort of the back and forth that needs to happen here for this to get greater?
And what I love about, it's interesting because people assume that since I can talk to ghosts, like I can talk to everything. And I have never really had a particular aptitude for like animal communication. It's not something that like I wouldn't say it's something that's super easy for me and that I accelerate in, but I have always been really grateful for people like you. Like you and also my dad does a lot of talk to the animal stuff. And my husband is also, I would say, is like really like an animal person. And there's like this, there's an inclusion that you function from with the animal kingdom that to me feels like a really big relief, because there's not a lot of honoring of the animals going on the planet. There's not a lot of honoring of all the animals, including our bodies on the planet. And so it's like, and in our lifetimes, I mean, we've seen so many species go into extinction, and the changes on the earth and what's going on with the animals and us and everything, and having like a willingness to include the animals in what our lives can be and as co-creators on the planet, it's such a bigger, richer life.
For sure. And, you know, one thing that always is interesting, or has always been interesting to me, is that when people look at this even as a possibility, oftentimes they come to a couple of conclusions. One is, well, if I start listening to animals and if they're telling me things, then they must know more than I do about certain things, or they must be greater. That's one. Or people then come to this conclusion that, well, if I start listening to animals, I could never eat meat again. I would have to stop eating meat and I would have to change my entire lifestyle. Neither of which to me really is correct and true. It is really more, are we willing to have the animals be our co-creators on this planet? Are we willing to include them in our choices? And not go to one side or the other. You know, what if it was okay to eat chicken and beef? And what if it could be done in a different way? What if we could be honoring to the animals and have a different way of raising them, a different way of killing them, where there is a, really that part of honoring is part of it. And it's not like, oh, now it's just a commodity and it doesn't matter that it's an animal. It's just, that's what I do with it. And now I slaughter it, and I slaughter it in this way because that's the most economical way to do it. You know, so
And it's a lot. And it's such an interesting thing that you brought up into there about the commodity of animals, because it's like, it's always been a really, like, to me, like abusing animals or creating difficulty with anything physical, whether it's the earth, plants, animals, people, has always felt like an abuse to me. Like, if an animal is suffering, like I'm suffering. And it's so, to me, it's always made much more sense to like honor the animal. You know, I've actually learned a ton from my husband. I think he's like naturally gifted with animal husbandry. And he grew up in a much more rural place than I did. I grew up like in a town, but like in Santa Barbara, we don't like raise animals in our backyards. But in Australia, a lot of people do. And so I remember at one point he and I were walking down the street in a place called Noosa in Hastings Street, which is a very kind of like ritzy part of Noosa, but there's a huge national park that's on one side and there's a lot of bush turkeys here. And like they run around Australia because they don't taste good. They don't taste good. No one kills them, but they're like in all the national parks and all the parks. So you see them running across the street everywhere. They're sort of like an icon of the area. But we saw one walking who he must have been hit by a car or something because he was like limping and his neck was like really messed up. And he and my husband and I saw this and I just looked at him like, can you do something? And he actually like took the turkey, the bird, up into the hills and basically broke his neck to let him die quickly. And I just thought like how few people are really willing to address nature that dynamically. And my husband, he's like one of the most gentle, sweetest, kindest men. And is completely willing to contribute and deal with life and nature and honor the animals in ways that like I have often felt like I don't really have the confront and aptitude for.
Yeah, and he has that. And that's exactly it though. What if we could have an energy of being willing to kill and yet kill with still having the energy of kindness.
Yeah.
A lot of people think if you have to kill something, you have to come up with the energy of meanness or aggression or any of those things. And that is actually not correct. And what if we did shift that point of view and had a different way of being? Like I watched, and I'm sure a lot of people have watched Temple Grandin's movie too, but one of the things that she was saying is that, hey, we don't have to torture the animals that we are eating and killing. We can make them go to their death in calmness and in that sense of peace. They don't have to be rushed through and then like have an elevated heartbeat, have panic in their eyes and screaming and all that. It's not required. And she figured out a way to basically do that. And there is this one scene in the movie where she reaches down and touches the heart of the cow right before it gets slaughtered. And it's like, you know, she has sort of a smile on her face, like, yeah, this cow is not in any kind of fear. This cow is just being here. And, you know, and that's the part too. The very first time I listened to your dad talking about this kind of stuff, he said that the cows are willing to be eaten by us, that they actually have given us the permission to eat them. And the first time I heard that, I was a vegetarian at the time for 23 years, for the mere fact of not being able and desiring to kill animals. And so when he said that, I was like, this can't be true. No, this is not correct. Like, no, you know, you have this all backwards. But the more I have been really, truly willing to listen to animals, I get that they are totally aware of contributing their bodies to us, to us eating them, and it's fine. And there is this other piece of it being a commodity and how it's done and how we go about it that is really oftentimes not a contribution to the animals or an honoring to them.
Well, the thing that I love so much about Talk to the Animals, and I said this briefly when we started talking, but I want to emphasize it again, is how it's about including the animals in life and awareness. And I think that too often, not only are animals excluded, but so is nature in the equation of life and creation. It's like we don't tend to work with, I mean, you and me do, but on the planet as a whole, it's like as a race of people, we're not really working with the earth and we're not working with the animals to create greater. A few people are, of course, and the minority is, and the majority isn't, and the animals and the planet. And to be fair, so are we suffering from it. And how talking to the animals has made my life easier is in a really super funny way, which is with insects. We were just recently in Costa Rica, and I kept getting bitten around my ankles in the same place on both ankles, and I kept complaining. And it was either you or Max said to me, "What are they contributing?" And it was like immediately it got me out of being irritated and resisting and fighting against the bug bites and into like, oh yeah, okay, so like what is this contributing to my body? And recognize, and as soon as that realization occurred to me, I stopped getting bitten there and the bug bites stopped itching. And mm-hmm. I've had that so many times with insects where like I'll be like, oh, they're really annoying me, or like the bites are da-da-da-da-da. And then it's the question of like, okay, well, what is this insect contributing? And always it's like moving some sort of energy from my body.
It's incredible. I literally have had flies sitting on my nose while I was facilitating some class, you know, and me like brushing them away, go away, go away. And they would land on the nose again and again and again. And finally it's like, okay, wait a minute. What are you contributing right now? You know, what am I missing? What's going on? And even if I don't get a cognitive thing in the moment and I just allow that energy to be a contribution, they leave and they never come back.
Mm. And I've had that experience so many times with insects where like they're actually contributing. And I've had so many animals come to contribute and gift to me throughout my life. Mm-hmm. I had years ago when I was still living in Santa Barbara, I was out at one of the Channel Islands. Southern California has some Channel Islands out, and I was out at one of them and I was standing waist deep in the ocean, and like this huge bat ray like came swimming close to me, and I totally freaked out and totally freaked the bat ray out. But then for the next like 3 weeks, every single night that bat ray came to me in my dreams. And it was one of the deepest, most peaceful, profound experiences like of my life. And of course my head doesn't actually still understand what that was. But the contribution of energy and the transformation of energetics based on that being's presence was undeniable. And that's the gift. And so I see that like being in a body on this planet with all of these magical animals, and let's face it, a lot of animals do have so much more access to embodiment and what I would call magic, the gift, like the sort of gift and experience of living on Earth. It's like, mm-hmm. that's part of the magic of living for me, is getting to be part of that fullness of perception, and how animals bring in so much more perception. So let me ask you a question. So in Talk to the Animals, do you talk about contributing to the animals? Like what's the conversation about what we can actually choose today to make the animal kingdom greater?
Well, one of the things that I have noticed is that a lot of people are not willing to truly receive from animals. Uh-huh. And yes. You know, the receiving part, I think, is where people get scared in quotation marks, to truly open up to the conversation, because of the conclusion that, well, if I really truly receive from the animals on this planet, I will have to change my lifestyle. So
do you think that's, can I add to that about the receiving thing?
Absolutely.
Because you're saying that people don't receive from animals, which is true. And I've even seen that in my own choices and behavior, but people have a hard time receiving, period. So it's not just true. From animals. It's like from true. Everything and everyone. So I would say like also like I have had blocks from receiving from animals, not because I thought I needed to change my lifestyle, but simply because like receiving is intense and transforms everything.
Totally. And a lot of people that come to the class have already decided they would like to know more about this topic. Mm. And yet at the same time, they are worried that if they open the floodgates of receiving, it's going to change them profoundly, which it does, but not in the way they think it does. Mm. So it's definitely an interesting energy. And I do get, though, that a lot of animals are really, they contribute to us all the time. And they, if you can truly receive them, the contribution is so much greater, number one. And then also the part that really shifts and changes is that when you're willing to really truly receive them, you might find out there are so many other things that they are contributing that you weren't even aware of, that had nothing to do with you, what you have decided is going to happen if you receive more from animals.
Right. Like flies landing on your nose and helping you facilitate a class, or, you know, me getting like the same bug bite over and over again in the same place. It's this change contributing something to my system. I never mm-hmm. really understood it, but my body needed it.
Yeah.
I was listening to you have an interesting conversation with Max recently, because he was in a wildlife sanctuary in Africa a couple of years ago, and they were visiting with a tiger who actually like turned around and like made a nice little scratch on his body, as tigers do. And and Max has like a little scar from it, but it was like, I remember you guys having a conversation about that, and Max was, and you were like, well, what was that tiger telling you? And I remember you getting to the point in that conversation where you were asking, well, does that tiger really want to live there? And I hadn't actually, and I'm sort of embarrassed to admit it, but I didn't realize that tigers weren't indigenous to Africa. They're from Asia. And I was like, well, what's he doing there? And you were like, well, in Africa, they have like a ton of like wildlife sanctuaries and like rescue and rehabilitation places. And that's how he obviously ended up there. But it's like, even to recognize that like a tiger living in Africa is like, would you ever see a tiger like turning around and scratching you as him communicating with you that like he would like to go somewhere else? And how easy it is to misunderstand that.
Totally. And also it was interesting because Max actually did recognize that the tiger wasn't doing it to hurt him.
Yeah.
You know, because that part too, it's so easy to come to the conclusion, well, if an animal is bumping into you and hurting you in that sense, it was desiring to do that. But, you know, an animal like that, if it really wanted to hurt you, it would basically kill you. It is so strong. Any like little swipe with its paw is going to send you flying. So in that sense, it was also interesting that he knew that it wasn't out to really hurt him, but yet it wasn't so clear to him what the communication was. And that's the part where it can get very tricky, just because it is not a language that we are using currently in the way that we could, because it is, you know, like you talking to ghosts, there is an energy that you are translating into words. And it's the same for the animals, you know, it's an energy we're translating into words. So sometimes it may not be super clear what is being communicated, and sometimes it may take a while to really get to what it is that is truly being said, or that is being contributed, or whatever it might be.
But it's in that understanding or accessing of what's actually being communicated that has made my life a bazillion times richer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same with entities, and it's the same with animals. But it's similar with animals as it is with entities, because, like, for example, that tiger ultimately, like, didn't really want to live where he was living. But it's sort of like we're sort of sitting, functioning from this place of, like, well, okay, well, can I actually do anything for this animal at this point? Mm-hmm. You know, and I get a lot of entities coming to me who want me to talk to so-and-so, and I have no idea who so-and-so is or where so-and-so lives. And I'm like, I don't really know how to help you, dude. If you want me to talk to this person, you got to have them find me.
Yep.
So it's this interesting like realization of you can have so much information and so much awareness, which you do not necessarily ever do anything with it.
No, and you know, also at the same time though, the acknowledgement can change so much. You know, you acknowledging an entity that you actually did receive their request, you know, to me, if I'm willing to receive that this tiger didn't really choose to live there, or this was not his number one choice, just the acknowledgement of that doesn't necessarily mean I have to do anything, but finally somebody actually even heard him, you know? And that oftentimes people also underestimate, like how much can change when an animal is being heard. And one of the incredible documentaries that was done about Anna Breitenbach was about this. She's an animal communicator in South Africa, and she was working with different animals in this documentary, and she was being followed by these people that actually had a lot of doubt what she was doing and all that. And she was talking to this Black Panther at the time named Diablo, and he didn't know why he was in this place where he was, and he didn't know what his deal was. And to us, oftentimes, we think, well, it's obvious, you're at a sanctuary and we're protecting you from the world or something. But to this panther, it was not clear why he was there. It was not clear what his role was. He wasn't sure what the people wanted from him. And so he was completely confused and he was lashing out at people. And so she basically just asked him some questions and she communicated with him. And she said, look, all that people want from you here is to relax and to enjoy your space, and you will be fed and you will be just living in this environment. And that's all that's being asked of you, nothing else. And the next day, he immediately relaxed. And the next day he came out of his enclosure for the first time into the open. He enjoyed the enclosure and he changed his behavior 100%. So it was really stunning to the people because they hadn't been able to get through to him before that. And yet it was really just the acknowledgement of him and who he was. And that changed everything for him and for the people too. So a lot of times it's not enough necessarily always. I'm not saying it's always enough, but not to underestimate also when we're just receiving the conversation, when we're hearing it, when we're acknowledging it, can make a huge difference.
Yeah, and that's the power of, I always say that acknowledgement is like a small step on the path to receiving. And that's the power of acknowledgement and receiving, and how much it can transform. Yeah, totally. So it's, and that's like such a beautiful story. And I just am so great. Like, that's such a gift that is possible in the world. So what would you tell people if they wanted to strengthen, develop, explore their animal communication abilities and skills?
To me, one of the things is to basically stop pretending that you're not getting it. And really, here goes the acknowledgement. Acknowledge when you are receiving something. And even if you think it's crazy, even if you think it's not true, even if you think you're making it up, what if you actually stopped all of that and just received it and acknowledged yourself for receiving it, and then ask for more and keep asking for more? And when these informations come in, really, truly just be present with them, allow them to be there. And don't try to interpret them. Don't try to make some crazy story out of it. Just really be with it. Be present and be in the space of it rather than try to categorize it, define it, and with that, in a certain way, also diminish it. And, you know, to me, truly the part of just being willing to receive any kind of information and not try to analyze it is such a huge gift to you and the animal. And it will give you more and more and more because you're not shutting it down by squashing it into a box. I don't know how to explain that any better.
Yeah. Well, and because the thing too is like animals, like entities, don't communicate with the mind. Mm-hmm. And so if you use your mind as a way of understanding or controlling or filtering communication, you're going to be missing most of what's actually going on. And that's why in Access, we talk about perceiving, knowing, being, and receiving. Because that's actually, when you're perceiving, knowing, being, and receiving, that's when you're going to be receiving and perceiving what's possible. And that's where what true communication is, like how trees don't talk to each other, but they definitely communicate. Mm-hmm. And everything in existence communicates it just doesn't necessarily talk. And we could also state that talking is actually a way of creating separation, and language is oftentimes the way in which people pretend. Language is oftentimes the way that people hide and confuse things. Whereas awareness, which is ultimately what we're talking about with Talk to the Animals, is awareness never lies. The mind often does. So you can't listen from your mind. You have to listen from awareness.
Correct.
And that's the biggest, you know, and that's the biggest why I think that Talk to the Animals, Talk to the Entities, why access works for me so well, is because being aware is so much easier for me than thinking, like so much easier for me.
Yeah. And that's the part, you know, where, you know, we talk about this all the time, of course, in access too. It's like we have never really been encouraged to groom our awareness. We have always been told that we should listen to people, we should believe what people say. And I think this has been the hardest for me to unlearn that part in a way, and to trust what I am aware of no matter what people are saying. And also with animals, a lot of times when I will speak to somebody who has something going on with their animal, how often they will listen to what other people are interpreting or saying about the situation rather than trusting what they know. Because so many times when I assist people with some situation, they already knew it, they just didn't trust it. And so that is also the beauty, because then people recognize, wow, I did know this. I just didn't believe it. I just didn't trust myself. I just didn't really follow through with that. I thought the expert was telling me something and I needed to listen to them, even if the expert is just a friend or something, you
right.
know, but
it's like, believe anybody. It's like looking for somebody else to be the source of awareness rather than we being the source of our own awareness.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's some of the cool stuff that Talk to the Animals gives us access to and sort of necessitates us starting to function from, is acknowledging what we're aware of, claiming the communication exists, and that we're not crazy. We're actually aware, and that that's not wrong. That's another, it's a possibility.
Yes. So true.
So there's a book. Isn't there a book, Talk to the Animals?
It's amazing. It was written cool. by yeah. your dad and Dane here, Dr. Dane here, and Gary Douglas. And so many people have this book, and I've heard so many stories of people literally carrying the book in their back pocket when they go out to the barn or when they are with their animals. And if anything kind of shows up, they just open a page and read it. And it's always relevant to what is going on.
That's so interesting.
I yeah. know. I love that.
So we'll put a link to the book in the show notes, you guys, so that you can check that book out if you want. And it is life-changing. And if you're an animal person at all, it's like, please check it out. Like, I am a self-professed not animal person, but I am a person that loves awareness and loves the earth, and the animals are part of the earth. And I have been so gifted by them. And so what is possible now, and what's possible if we claim and own our knowing and actually start receiving from the animals? How does it get better?
How does it get better?
Thanks everybody for listening.
Thank you so much, Shannon. I always love chatting with you, and it's just incredible. Thank you so much.
Bye guys.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this show. My target is to make consciousness easy to find and choose. So if you enjoyed this podcast, please leave a 5-star review on iTunes and share this with somebody who you know who might be looking for more consciousness in their life. You can visit me on shannon-o'hara.com or talktotheentities.com. And to learn more about the amazing tools of Access Consciousness, you can visit accessconsciousness.com, and be sure to subscribe to the podcast.